Well, could we turn to the Psalms again, Psalm 115, the 115th Psalm. There are some treasures, not only throughout the Bible, but especially in the Psalms that we can easily miss. We just kind of skim past them. Maybe they're just, we kind of can view them like filler verses. You know what inert material is? Inert, what does inert mean? No real value, just, I remember years ago I read a box of laundry detergent, the ingredients, and it said like 75, after it gave the ingredients, 75% inert material. I said, I am being ripped off. We're being ripped off. I'm paying 3/4 of my money for nothing. And it's just filler. Well, sometimes we kind of treat reading the Bible that way. I started in my morning readings again about a week ago in 1 Chronicles. And you start in chapter 1 and 2, it's like, oh, brother. It's all just names, straight names, no commentary. You can't even pronounce them, much less, and it's like drudgery. And it's okay to be honest with the Lord about that. Okay, Lord, here I am again. It's in like Romans 8. This is hard plowing, so help me. And I've been getting some rich things lately, but because there is no filler, there's no inert material in the Bible. Psalm 115, something struck me that was so wonderful. And we're really going to have one verse as our text, but we're going to read the whole psalm. So 115, beginning with verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Well, here's where he is. Our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Their idols, that is the heathen, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Let's just apply that to today. Dallas Cowboys, Olympics, NBA basketball, the nearest great mall, the idols of men, the work of their hands. Verse 5, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And here's our text. The Lord has been mindful of us. That one sentence summarizes the whole Bible. That one sentence summarizes the gospel. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Name the animals, Adam. The earth has he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord. Sometimes, let me just tell you what I do sometimes. Sometimes I'll go to a cemetery and read and pray for 2 or 3 hours, sit in there. Nobody's going to bother me. The dead praise not the Lord. But the living, I'll go and I'll praise the Lord among the dead. And I'll read gravestones. And, you know, every one of them preaches a sermon to me. When I look at a headstone, it says to me, they're speaking to me from the grave. And they're saying, where you are, I once was. And where I am, you soon shall be. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will, the living, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And then back to verse 12, the first phrase. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Well, let's pray again. Our Father, let us hear your voice this morning above all other voices. For Lord, if only a man speaks and you don't speak, we will not be helped. But if you speak in spite of a man speaking, we will hear the voice of God. Let us hear your voice above all the distractions of this world, because your voice and your word bring life. So, Lord, speak to us. We want to hear your voice in this hour. In the name of our Savior, amen. I'm speaking to us this morning on the truth that God has been mindful of you. God has been mindful of us. He's remembered us. He's taken thought of us. In fact, David said in one place, many are your thoughts of me, O Lord. If they could be counted, they're more than can be numbered, more than the sands of the sea. God's thoughts of us. He has always remembered us. He's always been mindful of us. Psalm 40 says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord takes thought about me. You ever meditate on the fact that every day God's thinking about you? You ought to. He's thinking about you, JD, all the time. That's humbling. When He knows us totally, and He sees our failures and our sins, and He loves us perfectly, and our acceptance never changes, and He's thinking about us. Psalm 139, how precious are your thoughts, O God, toward me. If I tried to count them, more than the sands of the sea. How does the Lord think of the Christian? In terms, this psalm tells us, He thinks in terms of blessing. This Psalm 115 speaks of God's ultimate purpose of blessing, His mindfulness of us totally. Now, I don't know if mindfulness is a word, but if Webster can do it, I can do it. Right? So, His mindfulness of us. Look back in verses 12 through 15 in the psalm. His mindfulness of us. Verses 12 through 15. The Lord has been mindful of us, but this is in terms of blessing. Look what it says when it says He's been thinking of us. He's been mindful of us. It follows with all these phrases about God's blessing. He will bless us. And this is all encompassing. Us, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and then it goes to the Gentiles too. He'll bless those who fear the Lord. It's both small and great. So God's thoughtfulness of us, His being mindful of us, is representative of the blessing of God on His people, continually, always. Those verses speak five times about His blessing people. So verses 12 through 15, which really are the larger text this morning, it's a comprehensive statement. The Lord's been mindful of us. He will bless. It's a comprehensive statement of what He's done and what He will do. You know what you have to look forward to the rest of your days on this earth? The blessing of God. Blessing. Listen. Osteen and Benny Hinn, they can steal it, they can pervert it, but it's Bible. God has been mindful of us. He will bless us, all who fear the Lord, both small and great. He has been mindful of us. And He will bless us, the house of Israel. And the New Testament says that's the church, the Israel of God. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. This speaks of divine blessing of magnitude, of unbelievable proportion to a multitude of people. Verse 15, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, God is the subject of the psalm. You go back to verse 1, it says what? Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be glory. So God is the subject of the psalm. And then it starts talking about His being mindful of us and His blessing. Well, it does because it is God's nature to bless. He's the source of every single blessing. Creation and Eden was an amazing blessing. The sacrifice of those animals in the garden, covering Adam and Eve with the covering, was a blessing. God, through creation, since creation, through providence, everything He does, every moment, has redemptive, purposeful blessing behind it. Excuse me. It's His nature to bless. He's the source of every single blessing because all is from Him. Every beat of our heart, every breath we take in, every moment we live is a direct blessing from God. Every natural and spiritual blessing of time and eternity proceeds directly to us from the Lord Himself. John Wesley wrote about God's people, He everywhere has sway, and all things serve His might. His every act, pure blessing is. And Isaac Watts wrote this, blessings abound where'er He reigns. The prisoner leaps to lose his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of men are blessed. Well, you know, the knowledge of God Himself, isn't it? The knowledge of God, the saving knowledge of God, is the greatest of all blessings. Not the gifts, but the giver. Not what He gives, but who He is in and of Himself and who He is to us, His people. The knowledge of God Himself is the greatest of all blessings. So the worst thing that happened in man's fall in sin, or as Sam Storms called it, the tragedy in Eden, the worst thing that happened was the loss of the knowledge of God. Think how Adam and Eve felt afterward. They wouldn't have the word knucklehead, but they knew they were. Think about the regret. Not only the shame, the guilt, the grief, the regret. When the human race fell in sin, it lost the knowledge of God and it naturally became a what? Rebel and idolater. A race of idolaters. And that's why this psalm talks about men's idols. Idols in which men invent their gods, and idols, the psalmist says, they don't have life, they can't respond, but men make them because they're like them and they trust in them, the psalmist says. Idols in which they trust, idols which they serve, idols which they count important and even worship. Now last year, 2016, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Remember that? Any of you remember that? The Cubs, first time since 1907, the city went bonkers. Afterward, hundreds of people gathered and wrote their granddaddy's name and their daddy's name, their mommy's name, on walls outside the stadium, or they went to cemeteries near Wrigley Field, and they laid Cubs baseball paraphernalia on dead relatives' graves. Because, and I heard some of them interviewed, I just know that Uncle Herbie, he was the biggest Cub fan. I know he's just having great relief and joy right now that they finally won the World Series. Somehow, they think this fantasy of idolatry has meaning, the vanity of idols. But the psalmist says they can't do anything. Can't do anything for you. They can't respond to you. So that's why David says in verses 4 through 8, all idols can't do anything for man. They can't speak, see, hear, smell, touch, do anything. David describes everything that God can respond with and that we can respond with as created the highest creation in the image of God. But idols can't help anyone, can't think of anyone. But God thinks upon us. He's mindful of us. So, none of it. David is contrasting, isn't he? Idols with the living reality of God interacting with us and even thinking about us. Idols can't do anything because nothing that's in this world that men make idols out of can offer anything. No lasting, real, fulfilling joy or true pleasure. Nothing the world offers up has any real blessing in it. It's all fading. It's all temporal. You know how it is. A sport team wins a championship, and a week later, they're planning, they're conniving, they're not satisfied. Got to win another one. Never is lasting. But on the other hand, the love and grace of Jesus Christ brings life and fullness of joy. His voice speaks promises. His ear is open unto us. His heart is toward us. He responds to us. His love offers far more than anything else this world can ever offer. As the old hymn says, now none but Christ can satisfy. None but Christ has true blessing for anyone. So this psalm, when David says in 4 through 8, talks about the idols, the vanity of them, you see in verses 9 and following, a different way of living that belongs to the people of God. Different than the heathen with their idolatry that has no organic life in it. Verses 9 through 11 speaks of a different way that belongs to the people of God. What's verse 9 say? O Israel, what? Trust. A life of faith and trust is our way. Not in idols, but in the living God. Remember Paul said, we trust in the living God? Yeah, we do. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Responsibility, command, pleading, invitation. Jack, trust in the Lord today and every day. A week from now when you're in Baton Rouge and I'm in Denton, God willing, I'll think of you and I'll say, I know what Jack's doing. He may be doing some job today. He may be home. But I know he's trusting in the Lord. O Israel, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. And it's in that context of a life of faith and trust, God is always mindful of us. And He will bless us. The whole Bible is about divine blessing. Eden was a perfect blessing. The creation of all the universe was a glorious blessing. Adam and Eve, what perfect specimens of the highest creation they would have been. Perfect image bearers of the living God. Creation began with blessing. And the Genesis says that male and female He created and what? Blessed them. To Abraham, He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. A people marked out for blessing. Remember in Numbers 6, God gave priests and He said to them, in this way you will bless the children of Israel, saying, the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then Israel was taught that God's blessing was to extend beyond them to all the earth. Because God said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. Scripture traces how this happened. It would all be through one person, Jesus Christ. The only blessing God ever had for anybody is wrapped up in Him. Every blessing is mediated through Him. Always. Every lasting, real, true blessing only comes through Christ. The coming of the Son of God into this world is the evidence of God's intention to bless undeserving sinners. He has been mindful of us. The New Testament in the first five chapters says this over and over again. Blessed are. Blessed are. Blessed are. Condemnation turns into favor. And think of the cross, think of Calvary, the blood of the cross. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing. Isn't that amazing? You ever thought about that? He calls the communion, which is representative of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls it this cup of blessing. Believers share in the results of redemption. And Paul says the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Remember in Luke 24 when Jesus is ascended to heaven? Luke 24, Luke records, and it came to pass while He blessed them, He was carried up into heaven. Now let me give you three major truths in viewing God's blessing from this psalm that speak of God being mindful of us. Truth number one, all our blessings have been planned before eternity, in eternity. Our times are in His hands. God created us and He decreed all that would come to pass. He decreed and planned in eternity. Perfectly and personally, He planned for you blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Before anything was ever created or given, God was thinking of us. God was mindful of us. Blessings are not random accidents. Every conversion is planned by God. The moment, the time. You know, you look at your life as a Christian, and I came to Christ when I was 19. I wore the carpet out in my Baptist church trying to get saved. It was a crazy... I made so many decisions, but nobody counseled me about the gospel. Sign this card, pray this prayer, be good, be faithful in church. And so, many, many, many times, as a young boy into my teenage years, and it never worked. But God had a moment. He had a day. He had a time. He personally, perfectly predestined the time He was going to save me. Because He was thinking of me. He was mindful of me. Could I get a little water? Every conversion is planned by God. Your marriage was planned by God. Your children, future provision, planned and carried out. I want you to turn to Acts 17, and we'll just read two verses that are a reminder of this for us. Acts 17. These are wonderful verses that I always greatly enjoy, probably more than 1 Chronicles 1. That's okay, too. I can enjoy them. We can enjoy them. Thank you, brother. Acts 17, verses 25 and 26. Let's start with 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He is given to all life and breath and all things. Here it is. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. God didn't place any of us in the 14th century or the 18th century. He placed us now in this generation for His purposes. Why? That we might seek the Lord. God predetermined your habitation and the place of your boundary in order that you might seek the Lord, because He was mindful of you. We're to understand that all our blessings come to us because God planned them in eternity past, appointed before we were born. Now, I'll just reference, you can read it later. Read Ephesians 1 through 11, and you see this in a fresh way. It's kind of a commentary, in a way, on Acts 17, 26. Isaiah 46, 10 says, I am God, declaring the end from the beginning. My counsel will stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. And one of those great eternal purposes is that God had you in mind, and He's been mindful of you from eternity past till He created you in your mother's womb to this moment He's thinking of you. John Newton said this, when his name was quite unknown and sin my life employed, then He loved me as His own, or I would have been destroyed. You know, before we're converted, we have no idea God's thinking about us. God's not in our thoughts, right? Except wrong thoughts, or maybe at times when there's that grace of the Holy Spirit's drawing us, and we hear truth, and maybe we'll have a passing right thought. But we don't have normally... Unconverted people have no idea God's thinking about them. But moments when we're convicted of sin and we're being drawn in our conversion, did you ever have these moments where you just became amazed and astounded that God would love you? You realize God was real and He was for you and You were on His heart and He wanted you and He actually loved you. The Lord has been mindful of us from all eternity. Truth number two. I love this. See verse 12. Verse 12. Got to go back to it. It's a past tense and a present tense. The Lord hath been mindful of us. That's past tense. It's also truly present tense. But notice, He will bless us. That's future. Truth number two, past blessing is proof and guarantee of future blessing. The Lord has been mindful. He will bless us. Has been, will. The first secures the second. Because He has been mindful of us redemptively in grace and mercy, therefore, that grace and mercy is a certainty for the future. What the good work He's begun in us, He's going to complete it. I think this was either William Cooper or Newton. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms His good pleasure to see me quite through. Sweet Ebenezers, look how God's helped me. Look what God did. Look how He brought me through. Those confirm His good pleasure to see me through all the way to the end. He has been mindful of me. He will bless us. What has been true in the past? Grace, mercy, God's faithfulness, God's mindfulness, daily mercies, blessing, blessing, blessing. What's been true in the past for you is going to be true in the future for you if you're a saint of God. I love to do this to people. Sometimes I'll talk to a friend and I'll say, man, it'll be some morning, I got the most amazing news. Man, I've got some news for you. And they'll say, what? I'll say, His mercies are new every morning. That's the best news we could ever get any day. It really is. They're never warmed up. They're never leftovers. They're brand new every morning. New morning mercies. Past blessing is proof and guarantee of future blessing. The same grace we've had in is certain for us in the future. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Now, our failure to believe this explains something. It explains how we can see and know past mercies, and we can see clearly Ebenezer's. God did bring me through that. He was kind to me. I have every evidence of His faithfulness. We see it, and yet we can become anxious about and fearful about the future. We think and we see possible difficulties, trials, uncertainties, and our hearts begin to fear, and all the circumstances that can threaten our peace or our happiness, and suddenly our peace begins to dissolve. Anxiety begins to come, and our thankfulness disappears. And in our view that God has blessing for us disappears too. Then we fail to believe what the hymn writer said. Listen to this. Things future, nor things that are now, all things below or above, none of it can make Him His purpose forego or sever my soul from His love. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, because God is always mindful of us. Christians are to be thankful for the future as well as the past. Have you ever thanked God for your future? That's a strange thought, isn't it? Lord, I thank You that You're in control of my days. I thank You that You will never do me wrong. I thank You that what You have planned for me is for Your glory and my good and my well-being. You will perform that. You will perfect that which concerns me in the future. You have blessing and grace for me all the way to the end. Do you ever thank God for your future? He will bless us. We should. Through the love of God our Savior, all will be well. Pure and changeless is His favor. All is well. So God gives this guarantee of future blessing. He will bless us because He knows how much we need it. Think of this. We are passing through a world of increasing dangers and snares, aren't we? 10,000 dangers and snares all around us. But God's future blessing and mindfulness is a future certainty, regardless of what comes. Psalm 46. Think of that. Oh, the waters rage, the mountains fall in the sea. The most catastrophic imaginary things. I mean, the psalmist is using this symbolism of the worst scenario in the earth. Even though something like that we think could happen, God's with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So truth number three, the Lord Himself is the blessing given to those who fear Him. Every blessing, every grace, natural and spiritual, shows us that God is a gracious and a wonderful giver. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Everything witnesses to the fact that God is the great giver of all blessing. Jeremiah 31 says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Paul says, He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You know, sometimes contemporary movements that talk about God's grace, they talk about grace as if it's something separate from Jesus. It's something that He just gives. No. Jesus Christ is grace and truth. He is the one who brings those things to anyone's life. He doesn't just dispense it. He is the blessing. Knowing Christ is the eternal blessing above all. His love, the Bible says, is better than life. To be united to Jesus Christ is blessing beyond all comprehension. And, you know, there are many temporal blessings given to those who don't know Christ. And they still won't come to Him. Temporal blessings don't turn a lost person's heart to Christ, do they? Temporal blessings don't move a sinner's heart to see their need of Christ. God's blessings do not humble man's pride or remove their condemnation. You ever hear lost people? It's more popular today, you hear people say, if you ask them how they are, lost people say, I'm blessed. They use the term, they toss it around. But they know nothing of salvation. They know nothing of the greatest blessing and the only eternal blessing. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in dying for us to save us, Peter speaks of that even in terms of blessing. Remember when he said, he put our salvation in those terms, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning everyone from his sins. Forgiveness of sins, what a blessing. I have grown up with my children when things that God does, and I just have this catchphrase, sincerely I'll say, what a blessing that is. And now my sons tease me. When anything good happens, they say to me, kind of trying to imitate me, what a blessing, Dad. And I kind of like them doing it. And even in the hardest trials, even at the point of death, faith says the Lord has been mindful of us. Look at your state. Look at your condition. Look at your health. Look at your marriage. Look at your children. Look at your provision. Has not the Lord been mindful of you? For the mountains will depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who's had mercy on you. Isaiah 54:10. And I love that hymn. Maybe we should sing it in closing. Now thank we all our God, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Hallelujah. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Why don't we sing that? What's the hymn number? Now thank we all our God.